want to welcome you on the call tonight. We have Brother Ricky Cook. His subject title is Real Life Insurance. John chapter 11 and verse number 18. Brother Ricky, will you tell us tonight about real life insurance?
Thank you, my brother, and good evening to all who are listening to this call. We want to acknowledge first and foremost that we are grateful to our Father and our God in heaven for all of his love, mercy, and blessings. And truly, it is a blessing to be able to search the Word of God that we might know and understand the will of God. The Bible is a unique book. It has withstood not only the test of time, it has also withstood the criticisms and doubts of men. There is something special about the Bible because there is something special about the Word of God. The Bible is able to bless our lives like no other book that has ever been written. For in the Bible, we are able to find the answers to our questions, the substance of our hope, comfort in our sorrows, and joy in our distress. I cast my lot with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105, where he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so certainly we are blessed to be able to consider this evening a message from the eternal word of God. As has been indicated, we would request you to take up your Bibles and turn with us to John chapter 11. In the Church of Christ, we believe that we are not only the church in the Bible, but we are a church of the Bible. And we believe that not only can the truth stand investigation, but that the truth is worthy of investigation. And so it is our hope and prayer this evening that we will all do even as the Bereans did, and that we will receive the word with a ready mind and search the scriptures whether these things are so. We trust that you have your Bibles open to John chapter 11. At this time, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 18. John 11, verse 18. "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Based on the exchange between Martha and Jesus recorded here in John chapter 11, we want to use tonight as a subject real life insurance. And as we consider the text that we have before us here in John chapter 11, there is a word here from Jesus that everyone needs to know about life insurance. Many years ago, my wife and I consulted a financial planner about retirement plans and investments. And one of the things that he strongly recommended as part of a sound financial package was life insurance. Now, let me say from the get-go, I'm not here on behalf of any insurance company to influence you to buy a policy, but there are companies that sell what they call life insurance. One company asserts that you're in good hands with them. Another company urges you to get a piece of the rock. Still another professes that, like a good neighbor, they're there. And another says that you should get them because it pays. Now, I don't want it to sound as though I'm belittling what these companies offer. I have a policy on myself and my family, but I submit to you that what these companies offer is not so much life insurance as it is a loss of life insurance, because these policies that these companies offer cannot and do not guarantee life. To be sure, the Bible declares in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Furthermore, the policies that these companies sell don't compensate you for your living. It actually pays your beneficiary upon your decease. But I see what Jesus offers in our text as real life insurance. Again, there in John 11, in verse number 26, Jesus says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." No insurance company can match this. And I'm persuaded that one cannot appreciate what Jesus is offering in our text if we really don't understand what life is. In our society in particular, life is synonymous with material affluence. Don't we sometimes feel like if I could just get out of debt, everything would be all right? If I didn't struggle from paycheck to paycheck, I could have some peace of mind. Well, even if one is wealthy, wealth is not life. You see, wealth doesn't solve our problems. It just causes us to trade our old problems for new ones. See, the man with the old car worries about his car breaking down. The man with a new car worries about it being hit, scratched, or stolen. When we have nothing, we worry about what we don't have. But when we have something, we worry about the something that we do have. Our society has brought into the idea that the measure of a person is the wealth that he has accumulated. But I hear Jesus saying in Luke 12 in verse number 15, "Take heed to yourselves and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." And what we must come to appreciate is that there is no lasting satisfaction, no ultimate pleasure in chasing material gain. We were put here by God for a much higher purpose than trying to satisfy the desire of the fleshly mind. We were made with a creative purpose. Again, in your Bibles, in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 13, Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And when Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter," it mandates that we be familiar with everything that Solomon has said up to that point. If you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, then you know that Ecclesiastes is a look at life, and in particular, it's a look at the futility of life without God. So when Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter," Solomon is saying, "I've looked at life top to bottom, inside out." And when you take God out of the equation, that there's nothing left, because we were created by God to honor him and to live out his will. And when we look at what Jesus says here in John chapter 11, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ and dedicated yourself to serving the master, you are walking around uninsured. And in this day and age, one can't afford to be without loss of life insurance, much less to be without real life insurance. You know, some of us can't afford to die, but death is one of life's certainties. When we look here in John chapter 11, in our text, Lazarus has died. And in the ensuing conversation between Jesus and Martha, Jesus informs Martha that he has real life insurance. And we need to understand that it's not the physical body that is guaranteed, For God has declared that the physical body must return to the dust from whence it came. The physical body can be tucked, firmed, lifted, powdered, and painted, but it still grows old, and then it grows cold. But it's the soul of man that is eternal, and it's the soul of which Jesus is speaking in verses 25 and 26. But consider further that Jesus offers us not just insurance for the next life, but also an assurance in this life. In your Bibles, in Philippians 4 and verse number 6, there the Apostle Paul declares, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your minds through Christ Jesus." Paul is saying that we have an assurance because of the insurance offered by Christ Jesus. Not only are we insured of life after this life, but we have the assurance that God is on my side in this life. I think back to the days of television when I was younger, and I know there's somebody on this call that can identify with this, but Saturday mornings, my brothers and I would be sitting in front of the television watching the Saturday morning cartoons, and every now and then this beep would come on, and you know, it sounded something like, and then it would be followed by a voice that would say, "This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If this were an actual emergency, you will be informed as to where to tune for further instructions." Well, based on the assurance of the insurance, life is sometimes we have those periods where we go through a test. Now, we might call it trial or trouble or adversity, but we have to appreciate that it's just a test because of the assurance of the insurance. God sometimes allows storms in our living, but whenever God allows a storm in the living of his children, it's only a test. And be mindful of the fact that God has two types of storms that he'll allow. Sometimes he'll allow a storm of correction. You know, like Jonah, we just out of step, and we need the hand of God to help us get back in step with his will. And when that's the case, God will send us a storm of correction. But then sometimes God sends storms of perfection. Now, a storm of perfection is to help me become a better me and to be better suited to serve God in his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 12, if you're familiar with Paul's thorn in the flesh, Paul's thorn in the flesh was a storm of perfection. It was given by God to Paul to help Paul become a better servant in his kingdom. But here in John chapter 11, Jesus offers us real life insurance. Now, having said that, we need to be aware of spiritual insurance fraud. There are some peddling policies in the name of Jesus, but not according to the word or will of Jesus. Now, the Lord has some requirements that one must obey if one wants real life insurance, but there are some in our religious world today that have taken it upon themselves to try to change the Lord's requirements. Now, remember, Jesus alone is the resurrection and the life. Jesus alone has the words of life. In this very account of the gospel, in John chapter 6 and verse number 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." We need to be aware of the fact that man-made doctrines are spiritual insurance fraud. In Mark 7, verse number 7, Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And so the reason we stress having your Bible and searching the scriptures whether these things are so is that we want to be in agreement. We want to be in submission to the Word of God and to the will of God, because anything that falls outside of what God has commanded or authorized in His Word is spiritual insurance fraud. And when you look at our religious world today, spiritual insurance fraud is running rampant in our religious world. Denominationalism is spiritual insurance fraud, that there is no scripture that can be cited to uphold the idea that God saves man according to man's desire in the church of one's own choosing. Rather, what the Bible does teach us, Matthew chapter 16, you remember when they came in, Jesus asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you remember they answered, some say that thou art Elijah, and some say Jeremiah, and some say one of the prophets. And Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered Peter and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus only have a purpose to build one, despite the fact that we see many in our world today. Spiritual insurance fraud is one of the biggest crimes in our world today. You know, you turn the TV on and you hear people talking a lot about identity theft. Spiritual insurance fraud is bigger than identity theft. And there are going to be many people at the judgment with policies that are no good, because you cannot get good coverage from a bad policy. So it's not enough just to be religious and have a church. My religion and my church must be authorized in the Word of God if it is to be accepted by God. Jesus says here in John chapter 11 that he is real life insurance. And Jesus is real life insurance because his word is eternal. You remember him making the declaration in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus is real life insurance because his word is the standard by which we shall be judged. In John 12, in verse number 48 in your Bibles, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so it is our hope and prayer that we are all desirous of real life insurance, but we understand that we must obey the will of God as revealed in the Word of God in order to be covered by this real life insurance. Now, the claims that these life insurance companies make are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. When you have Jesus, you're not just in good hands, you're in the best hands. John 10, verse 29, Jesus says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When you have Jesus, you don't get just a piece of the rock, you stand on the solid rock. In your Bibles, again, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 4, the Bible says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus is more than a good neighbor. He is the good shepherd. In John 10, verse number 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When you have Jesus, it pays and you get paid. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, there the Apostle Peter declared, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The human life is both short and fragile. James asked, he said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. The soul of every individual ever born into this world is too valuable to be left uninsured. And if we want this real life insurance of which Jesus speaks in, here in John 11, 25 and 26, then Jesus requires that we submit to his commandments in order to be covered by the real life insurance that he offers. The Bible declares in Romans 10, verse number 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, we don't know what to believe until we read the Bible, because as Jesus said, the words that he speaks are true. So until we are familiar with the word of God, we cannot believe what God has said because we are unaware of what he has spoken. But when we read the word of God, we read that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, but raised the third day for our justification. When we read that good news in the word of God, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. In John 8, verse number 24, Jesus says, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Because Jesus is the Christ, and because he offers to us real life insurance, we need to do, the biblical word is repentance. Repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of action. Now, what that means is we stop trying to be the shot caller in our living and submit ourselves to the word and will of God. In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, it is declared that at the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now he commands that all men everywhere repent, for he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Christ Jesus. We must be willing to make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. No need to confess what you've done or where you came from, just the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And even having done that much, we must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Jesus himself declares in Mark 16, verse number 16, where he commanded the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus offers real life insurance, but he offers it on his terms, and he requires that we hear the good news of the gospel message concerning him, that we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, that we be willing to live our lives after his will, confess his name, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And when we go down into the waters of baptism, God washes away our sin by the blood of Christ Jesus, indwells us with his Spirit, and he adds us to the church of Christ, the church that you can read about in the Bible. And it is our prayer that you will search the scriptures, whether these things are so, that if you have any questions, you will reach out to the host of this call, to some member at a local congregation of the church where you may live. But may God bless you, may God keep you as we seek to do his will, and to live by his word. Amen.